Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whoa, it's Friday. I'm bringing a Friday energy.
I swear I've done that joke before, actually.
I'm bringing big Friday energy. I'm like Hawkeye shooting out energy arrows at anyone I see. Let's have some energy here.
We discovered this week that Hawkeye's the strongest Avenger as well.
Exactly. And obviously that's me. I am Simon Cardi. I'm feeling high energy. I've had a good few weeks. I'm feeling good. Matt Jones, how are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm really good. It's my day off. I came in especially.
I know. You the just enjoyed this
The podcast does not
so
stop
much.
Rolling.
I mean, normally people take time off to not talk to me, but you've done the opposite. You've taken time and then decided
gone out of my way. Yeah.
I know. And Jen, after 4 months, we've got you back.
Yeah. Here I am.
I'm lost in the wilderness.
We've got lost. You back. I've been retrieved though, so I'm feeling safe.
What have you been doing for the last 4 months? Tell us everything.
Weird gremlin basement dwelling gaming things. Just playing like a ton of Dota and RimWorld and Civ. And getting very competitive.
All that stuff. Have you finished Dota yet? Have you finished it?
Nearly. I think I'm on the final boss.
The games are long, so
You've been playing one game for the last four months. Who's your hero right now?
Who are you playing?
I play Lich.
Hell yeah.
She's a big, he's like a skeleton dude.
You're mid lane, you're off lane?
No, I'm position five. You know, I'm a support player. I help others to achieve their best
dreams?
Selves.
Yeah. And this is what I like to bring to podcasts, facilitating dreams. And I know it's been long your dream to share actually what your favorite pastry is, and I believe you have an opinion on what that is.
Yeah, out of context. Completely out of context. No, so I'll give you some context. What I've been doing this past couple of weeks as well is that I'm apparently like months or even years late to the game, but there's this app called Too Good to Go where you can get the food that places would otherwise throw away at the end of the day, and you can just roll
I
up.
Don't know.
And they just
I, this is
give
news
it to, you.
To me.
Well, this is, you know, this is good. This is information sharing. because it's like, you don't get to choose what you get. So unfortunately, I'm like vegetarian. So sometimes they just give me meat and I'm like, okay, I don't want to do this. But sometimes they give you pastries. We've got this like local bakery and we went there and they gave us like basically 5 different types of croissant. So I've been able to do like the croissant taste test, and I've decided chocolate hazelnut croissant is the best.
That does sound like it should be the
best. It's the best one, yeah.
Is it like a pan au chocolat shaped, or is it like a normal croissant?
No, okay. it's the pan au chocolat shape. But
nice.
With I'm, like additional hazelnuts involved.
You know, back in my day when I was growing up, you just had croissants, that was it. You know, you weren't getting all this fancy stuff. 5 different types of croissants.
It's not enough
isn't
to just
the world
have one
a magical
thing anymore.
Place? I know. I'm kind of partial. If we're doing pastries already, I'm partial to any pastry that kind of has a custard in it. Same with donuts. Like, I like those. I don't know what you call them. Like, the ones, they're kind of round and they have, like, the little pool of, like, hardened custard in the middle. Do you know the ones I'm talking about?
Yeah, I always see those in, like, in Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
In the
But you never get them.
Bakery. So, no, I do sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes.
That's good to know.
They don't have chocolate hazelnuts, so...
No, exactly. It's good that we've been branching out there from donuts to pastries, and that's good, because I feel like we did, where donuts, they were getting, pun intended, a little bit stale. So, yeah, it's good. We should probably talk about some games or something. We're going to talk about some things we've been watching later. What have we got this week? We've got Zelda, Final Fantasy 16, new game called Immortals of Avium that's been revealed that I think looks very cool. Evil Dead Rise, Matt's seen that. And then a bit of beef. The TV show, not the food, Jen, don't worry.
Okay.
I'm a vegetarian. It's fine. We're not just talking about beef recipes. It's fine. Let's start with Zelda. Why not? Because, you know, up until this point, we had a brand new trailer yesterday. Up until this point, I've been like, I'm obviously going to play this game. Biggest game of the year. Looks very good. All the trailers I've been seeing, I'm like, okay, looks more Breath of the Wild to me. And I feel like that's kind of... I'm not alone in that opinion. It's like, yeah, this is definitely a sequel. It's not a brand new Zelda. But the last 3 minutes of trailer we saw, I was like, every single frame was like, what is that? What is going on? I was like,
a little bit,
I'm now fully sold.
There's a bit where Link is on top of a little robot and he's fighting some bokoblins like on top of their own little robot. And I went, this game's going to be magic, isn't it?
Yeah, my favorite bit was, he was kind of like paragliding into the Death Star. And I was like, yes, I'm in. I don't know what's going on.
It almost looked like he had a little wingsuit on as well.
It was a little bit horny for Link as well, I thought. There was like a big laser maze.
let's explore that.
Yeah, let's go. Maybe when the game comes, maybe I'll write a feature on why Tears of the Kingdom is the horniest Zelda game yet. But I'll have to play it first. I can't jump to those assumptions. Are you a Zelda fan at all, Jen?
I haven't really played Zelda games. I know that's some kind of crime, I feel like. But
I mean, you know, I don't think you're alone. I feel like for such a massive series, there are a lot of people that haven't played many, if any. Of
you know, I haven't even played Breath of the Wild.
It's good.
You shouldn't have said that, because like, does Alex know this? I know he's not, like, you don't report to him at the company, but he would have words about this.
No, I think he knows.
Okay.
He still suffers me to live, so we're okay.
So when you're watching this trailer, do you just go, what is going on here all the time?
Not much different from my usual life, but yeah. No, I mean, obviously I know what, like, vaguely what's up with Zelda. It's hard to escape.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool. It looks really cool. I'm just too much of a PC gamer. I don't know. I just like sit down at my PC and I'm like, this is where I want
to. It's a shame that there's no way that you could possibly get Zelda on your PC. It isn't possible to do.
No.
I don't know of any way.
We'd never promote the ways of doing that. But are you gonna? Because obviously, if people don't know, Jen, it has been 4 months since we've probably got new listeners. You are on our guides team. Are you gonna be able to avoid the Zelda rush? Because I thought that would be all hands on deck.
That's the thing. I'm the only hand not on the deck.
Okay.
So it's important that when you have all the hands on the deck, you've got someone like looking to see
exactly
what if there's
cover
like a shark
every
or something.
Other game.
So yeah, that's me. I'm going to be on the like
in the crow's nest.
Yeah. Looking
still
the other
Genshin
way.
Watch.
Blissfully.
How is Genshin these days?
Genshin is good these days. We've had an update, 3.6 update. It's added a new area to the desert. And
lovely.
There's lots of fun to be had in the desert. So
I think there's a lot of fun to be had. Is there? What sort of fun do you have in the desert?
Collecting things, getting sandy.
Do you know what? That's the sort of thing Link does as well. I wonder if there's a desert in Tears of the Kingdom. I imagine there would be, because I think fundamentally on the surface level, it is the Breath of the Wild map, and then they've basically created a whole new map on top of it from the looks of it. It's just... At the same time, there's so much to talk about, but at the same time, very little to talk about, because I don't know where to start, and I'm just like, I don't know, was there one thing you saw, Matt, and you were like, apart from the bit where he was sitting on top of the little thing, you were like, this is cool.
It was a little tiny bit where you would, like, Link was just riding a horse, and behind it looked as if you'd fused a carriage to the back of the horse. Mm-hmm. So it looked almost as if like you're running a taxi service for little guys. I want to see way more of that, whether or not it's like a part of a mission that you've got to like ferry people from one place to another or figure out a way of doing it. Like I could imagine more missions like that. They're having to come up with even weirder and weirder vehicles to get people from place to place. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that be the thing that is in there.
Yeah, it looks like we finally got like a look at maybe what the Tears of the Kingdom means, because we saw like a little like tear shaped little jewel essentially in his hands. Was it in Link's hands?
I think
it's
Zelda.
Hands?
Yeah.
But Yeah, I thought it was more a figurative thing before, like, oh no, the kingdom, oh, maybe it's a double entendre, they're clever, aren't they? It's both the physical and emotional tears of the kingdom. But it looks like that, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if you've got to collect four of those and put them in a crown or something, and then you get powers. That's going to be what happens, isn't it? But yeah, there's just a lot, I feel like there's a lot of, not that they over normally reveal what Zelda games are before they come out, but there's a lot of secrecy behind this one. I feel like there is going to be some, like, there were always the rumors of co-op. I feel like if there was co-op, we'd know about it by now. I'd be mad if they suddenly released it's a two-player game.
Yeah, you find out the day before it comes out. Yeah. Invite a friend around.
I think there's always definitely some time shift stuff going on here, like either Zelda stuff in the past or something like that.
I've got a real feeling that there'll be like a prologue where, like, you know, there'll be a change at some point.
Yeah. Do you know what? The Master Sword looked very cool. Maybe I'll get it in this one because, infamously, I did not find the Master Sword in Breath of the Wild.
It's hard yet to figure out those words.
But yeah, I just didn't even bother go look. I just finished the game. I'm a madman. I think Ganon looks cool. A lot of people think he looks hot. I don't know if I would, you know, is that my place to say?
Horses
is Ganon
for courses,
hot?
You know? He's not your type.
No, he's not. I like, I don't know. I'm more of a, what's the bigger bird ones? I've forgotten what they're called. It's sort of funny. Isn't it funny when you make a joke and you can't remember the words? Isn't that the best one? about the guy with a bucket on his head? Let's talk about
it
him.
It did look pretty cool.
I think
cool.
We could all relate to that, couldn't we?
That was a little sneaky thing to include there, a little bucket man.
Standing in the middle of a field with a bucket on your head. That's what I'd be in the Zelda Kingdom. Like, I wouldn't really be Link. I'd just be standing there.
You'd be bucket boy.
I mean, it's just almost... It's the same thing I think I'm going to talk about when we talk about Final Fantasy in a bit. Like, at the same time, it was the trailer that really sold me on this game, but at the same time, I didn't need to see half of it. And I feel like, you know, we've still only seen like 1% of what this game is anyway, but like, I'm completely sold. I did like the look of the little Minecraft, minecart, not Minecraft sequence. So I just did that bit in Resident Evil 4 as well. It's like, the minecarts are coming
back.
It's
really, really good in Resident Evil 4 as well.
Yeah, and it reminded me of Temple of Doom as well. I'm just getting all sorts of... Oh, let's just talk about Indiana Jones, shall we?
I did rewatch Temple of Doom very recently as well because of Kihue Kwan. I was just like really interested to go back
and
see it.
Short Round is amazing. I love it. Like, he's really, is really fun if you ignore all of the insensitivities.
Yeah.
which, you know...
Do enough of that in my own life. I can afford that to movies as well.
Take with one hand, give with the other, so to speak. But yeah. Are you looking forward to... I don't know, how do you feel about this, Jen? Because there are rumours, you know, we can mould weapons from anything in this game, basically. Combine things is kind of one of the abilities. A lot of people... I saw you, Matt, even thinking about making meat arrows, meat swords. Would you be okay with that? Or is it just eating them that would be the problem?
Well, I feel like if you're going to kill something, like you're killing meat with meat, you know, it's kind of poetic. I think it's okay.
Ethically neutral, really.
Yeah. And
that's
then you can use the thing that you could, you know, like it's the circle of life.
It is the circle of life.
Don't know how forgiving are they going to be with like what you can put together and have it actually work, though. That's my question.
I want it to come up with really useless stuff, though. I want certain things that don't work, but it doesn't stop you from doing anything with it. That's the that's the real sign of a really good crafting system.
Yeah, I mean, we've got features on site if you want to look. Like, we've broken down all the details from that trailer. Which can give us some general thoughts, but I want to shout out one more thing. The bit where it basically turned into Toy Story and Link had basically a rocket on his back and he just started shooting up. What is, like, what's going on? I don't know what the technology is in this world.
It's falling with style.
Yeah, it's like, it gave me a buzz, I'll tell you that. But it's just, you won't hear a Bo Peep more from me about that. God, I was gonna,
why don't we just slinky on to a different
I was gonna say let's steer clear of the Woody jokes, Zelda looks good.
If I haven't played a Zelda game in 20 years, is this the one?
I would say that maybe Breath of the Wild would have been the one.
So I'm too late.
It's never too late. There's always time. What, we still have a full month before comes out.
Okay, right, yeah. No,
so
that's my challenge.
That's enough time. I mean, at the same time, I don't think you're going to be lost if you just play Tears. Like, that's the beauty of Zelda, isn't it? Whatever one you play, you know, there's no Link apart from Link himself.
Mm-hmm. There are people now that are on like TikTok that are a little bit younger than me that are saying that like Twilight Princess is the best one. That's and it's wrong, not. Though, it was just the one that you were playing when you were 14. It's like, that's the, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, Wind Waker has always been my favourite.
It's also mine as well, but it's not necessarily the best one.
No. I mean, if you're, you know, Breath of the Wild probably is the best one, if we're honest. But Wind Waker is closer to my heart. But there we go. Zelda looks good. We won't talk, like I said, we're not going to talk too much about it because in
you'll
a month's
get enough
time,
of it when we played
here.
It.
Yeah, Alex will be back on the podcast and he'll be talking about it forever.
Oh, imagine if that entire episode is the like, oh, have you done this yet? Have you done this? Have you tried combining? That's what it's going to be. Strap in, listeners.
I'm just really worried for Alex's sake that he'll not like the game, because that'll be really disheartening for everyone. But yeah, I'm sure. Like, looking at that trailer, I think most people's doubts are probably out the window, if indeed there were any doubts, if this game is going to be very good. But yeah, Zelda. Right, more fantasy stuff. The Final Fantasy, in fact. Oh, God.
This must be the last one,
today,
because it's the 16th one. There
I
must
know,
not be any more.
When will it be the final one? Final Fantasy 16. Jen, are you going to tell us you've never played a Final Fantasy game?
No, that's not true. I played Fantasy 14 for like half an hour.
Counts, mark it.
There we go.
Yeah.
You just love playing with other people. That's the thing, isn't it? You just don't like single player.
So
you need people.
I like playing games with people. I like playing games on PC. And I also, if I'm going to be playing a single player game, I don't want to play as like some random dude. That's the thing that kind of locks me out of being super interested in a lot of these games, is that like, I don't know, I feel like there's some kind of, oh, the combat looks so cool and you're doing all these cool moves. And it's like, I want to pretend that's me, but I'm not like a random dude. So...
You can't relate to Clive, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to pretend it's me, though. Like, I don't know. I feel like...
Yeah. I know, I get that. But yeah, Clive is who we've got in Final Fantasy 16. I'm sorry, there is no change in that. I'm not going to slander the name Clive. That's been done enough on the internet. And for Dale's sake, I'll leave Clive's name alone, because his father... You know, I respect his... I've never met his father, but I respect him.
I've gone the other way. I think Clive's a cool name now.
Yeah? You're full in on Clive?
Yeah.
He's got a brother called Joshua as well.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Wait, Dale or the...
No, Clive. Not his dad, the Final Fantasy. I don't know. Maybe Dale's
maybe the
uncle is called Joshua. I don't know. Again, right. I think... Who else has watched the 20-minute presentation on Final Fantasy?
No.
Is it just me?
I was seeing Evil Dead, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah. I will tell you why this looks so good. Because... At the same time, right, I was kind of already sold in this game. I thought it looked amazing. After watching it, I think it's now weirdly my most anticipated game. And I'm not a huge Final Fantasy fan. I've played like 7, most of 10. Did I finish 12? I might have finished 12. Play a bit of 13? But yeah. No, bit of 15. Sorry, not 13. So I've always dipped in and out. And yeah, for some reason, this is now like... top of my list. I just think every time I see it, it just looks better and better. And the thing that struck me most about it this time was everything we've seen before, maybe I'm wrong, has looked like very like European medieval, like castles, rainy like villages, like quite dark. This trailer, you're seeing everything. There's forests, there's beaches, there's like cities, like there's, it looks,
is there a
it
desert?
It looks like there's so much to it. I believe there was a deserty area. You can
this
have
is
fun
the
in
having
the desert.
Fun in the desert episode.
Cool.
Yeah.
You might be able to find things in the desert as well. I'm not
no
too
way.
Sure. Yeah. I just like, and there was like, I don't know where to start, because also I'd encourage anyone who already knows they're going to play this game to also not watch it, because I felt like I saw a ton of cool stuff that would have been cool to see when playing it. The thing that strikes me most, and I think Matt P said it in his preview like about a month ago, I think that was, that the icon versus icon battles, like the basically kaiju battling in this game, is very, very cool. And seeing all like lots of different versions of that in this 20 minutes was amazing. Like, they're doing the thing it reminded me of was Nier Automata, that like every, I don't know if it's every boss battle, but a lot of boss battles, they kind of adopt a different gameplay style. So sometimes it'll just be like a 2D, like shmup. Sometimes it'll look like Tekken. Sometimes it'll just like look like the main game itself. Like, I'm just really up for that. And it reminds me of like that last like half an hour of Nier, which is just unbelievable, where it just switches like gameplay style every 5 seconds on you. Like, yeah, and I'm just into that. And just the, it's always hard to tell until you've got it in your hands, but that combat just looks so smooth and so slick. Like, it's no surprise when you see it's from the guy from Devil May Cry and Dragon's Dogma. Like, it's just, it looks so colourful. It looks, there's a lot of numbers on screen, but at the same time, it doesn't look too crowded and overwhelming to my eye. I'm just, I don't know. I don't know if the story will be any good. I'm intrigued what they're doing with it, which is following Clive through, like, his 20s and his 30s, with also flashbacks to his teenage years. I kind of feel like they're trying to tell a grand story here, and I'm hoping it's like, because some Final Fantasy stories are okay. I think they're fairly A to B stories in my eyes. Like, there's some good character moments that always hit, but like the stories themselves don't often, I find, pack too much of a twist or anything.
The broad strokes I've never really thought were as interesting about Final Fantasy, yeah, but there are like little moments in like 9 and 8 mm-hmm. that really stick with me that I like think about a lot, but I don't care about the main story.
No, for me it's character moments, and we met a few of the cast of characters this time around, and yeah, I was trying to pick out whose death is going to break my heart, and I haven't decided yet, but yeah, I'm just, we're only what, 2 months away from this now. I just can't wait to jump into, what's it, I shouldn't have even bothered, should I?
So, we're not going to offend place. Anybody for like messing up a pronunciation of a fake place.
No, but I can't even remember. I was going to say Phalastheria, but that's wrong.
Yeah, I'm, sounds, I've got to find it now. I'd buy it.
Let's say it is. I mean, I've got to find it now. Someone say something. Someone say something about Final Fantasy.
I actually had a look through the state play mm-hmm. a little bit, and it looks really cool. I mean, yeah, as, again, someone who hasn't played mm-hmm. too much Final Fantasy, it looks super stylish. Like, and the music is so
beautiful. Like the way it like transitions in battle from like doing moves that look like cutscenes straight back into gameplay, like. I know people have been doing that for a while, but it just looks so stylish. Phalastheria, there we go. I was kind of close. There's a made-up place that you'll hear a lot in the next few months. But, yeah, Clive Rosfeld, he's going to have a good time there, isn't he? Yeah.
Can't wait to meet Clive.
Really excited. Exactly. And I've never met... Have I met Dale's dad? I did go to his wedding. I don't know if I met his dad. Have I met the Clive? I can't remember.
We should get him on. It was
lovely if I did. But yeah, I'm just fully in on this now, and yeah, I can't wait for Final Fantasy 16. Let us know what you think of, what are you more looking forward to and why, Zelda or Final Fantasy 16 at, IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com. I'm going to briefly shout out another game that was revealed yesterday. Have any of you checked out the trailer for Immortals of Avium?
I scheduled it on Twitter, but didn't look at it.
I looked at it. I had a little look.
And you thought, eh?
Well, I was like, there's just a guy. I'm just going to be playing as a guy again.
Oh, another guy game.
I'm going to be playing as a male model. I mean, that's a bit better.
I'm not going to lie. It wasn't the... it wasn't necessarily the character work or the... Well, I don't know much about the story yet that grabbed me about this game. But yeah, it just kind of, it's a bad name. Immortals of Avium, it's such a forgettable name, isn't it? It's just like
blends. Reminds me of like Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning. You know, it might as well be any title. It doesn't like strike me at all.
Yeah, I just, the thing, right. So this is an EA original, but it's not really, well, they're kind of an indie AAA studio. It's a weird one, but it's kind of the creative director on this game was behind a lot of the original Dead Space campaign and worked on Call of Duty games, including Call of Duty World War II. So I have a bit of trust there. I know World War II isn't the most beloved, but I quite like Call of Duty World War II. But the thing that got me about this is just how cool it looks. It is a first-person shooter, but not as you'd think, because it's magic-based. It's kind of a 25-year-old spiritual successor to Hexen, if anyone ever played Hexen on the PC. It's a PC game, Jen. It's kind of like, it was kind of like a Doom like Quake like, but you used magic instead of guns, and it's kind of got a bit of that to it, I think. I don't know if they've, I haven't read any interviews, I don't know if they are inspired by that, but like they have described it Call of Duty but with magic, I think. And there is that story pedigree behind it with Dead Space, with Call of Duty. Like, they are good campaigns. Plus, they've got Telltale expertise, I think, there as well. So I'm kind of hoping a story will come together. It's just it is a 25-hour single-player campaign game. It's not got any multiplayer. And that, you know, I'm up for that these days, just games sticking to one thing and doing it well. And yeah, if you haven't checked out the trailer for Immortals of Avium, I will say it slowly because Avium is spelled A-V-E-U-M. I check it out just because, despite the screen often being absolutely just battered with magical spells and colours, it does look very cool. And yeah, I'm hoping it'll just be a very fun time. That's what I want. So yeah, anyone got any thoughts on magic?
Magic seems cool.
Yeah. I cast a spell.
Yeah, there might be a desert in this game, actually.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very high. It's kind of like they've got cutscenes that very much look like a little bit like sci-fi Lord of the Rings. Like, it looks like the opening of Lord of the Rings, and that kind of sold me a bit. The other aesthetic is kind of, I suppose, it's a little bit like, a little bit Destiny-like, a little bit Outriders-like. I don't know. I just think I want to play it and I want to see how it feels, because it looks like it could be very fast, almost a bit Doom-like, but with magic. And yeah, I'm very much into that. You've recently rewatched all the Rings, right, Jen? You're
I did.
A fan.
Yeah, that's what I decided to do over the Easter
with the last 4 months.
The last 4 months. Well, it could have taken that long. But yeah, we watched all the extended editions as well. So that's like a huge chunk.
We watched the last two on the same day. Are they close to your heart?
Yeah, but in a kind of like, I know I really like this thing, but I don't spend too much of my time like thinking about it or paying attention, like watching, like rewatching. Yeah. I don't think I'd rewatch the films in like 4 or 5 years. But I don't know. It just makes me think, like, I never say that Lord of the Rings are my favorite films, but they are. Like, they should be. They're the best ones, like, that I've seen.
They're officially the best films.
They're the best films. That's the objective truth.
I have to check where I've got them on my...
You bother with Rings of Power?
Yeah, I watched Rings of Power. I enjoyed it. I did.
You're one of the few people that got to the end of it.
I thought it was okay. People. I watched it. I enjoyed quite a bit of it until the last episode, which I thought was not good. But... there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could have been better, but I'm not. Yeah.
I'm not heartbroken. I'm not devastated by it. No, I'll move on. I have Lord of the Rings trilogy at 95, 96, and 97 on my top 250 list. I think I have Two Towers, then Fellowship, then Return of the King. That's what I have as my
order. I think that was my order before rewatching them, but rewatching them, I think maybe Fellowship is at the top for me now.
Yeah, maybe. I was the other way up until like a couple of years ago. I had Fellowship as the best one, and then I switched to Two Towers. But I do love the end of Fellowship a lot. I do think
It just has such a nice arc.
Yeah. Sean Bean, great. He's so good at dying, and no one tell that spoilers that Boromir dies in Lord of the Rings. If someone claims that that's spoilers, I'll have a word with you. But yeah, you don't want me having a word with you because I'm quite placid and probably just say sorry. But there we go.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Films. Why not? We're talking about films. Last night, Matt, you went to see a horror film in April. You madman. Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
I was terrified out of my gourd. Really nice sunny weather outside, and then going in into the darkness. Before I talk about the movie at all, I had the rare opportunity to meet the director. Except I didn't know I was meeting the director. And what I'd done is I'd gotten into an elevator eating a Reuben sandwich. And he said, that looks really nice. I'm so hungover. That would be really good right now. And I said, I'm sorry, mate. I need it more than you. And then later he would go get up on stage and do a Q&A. And I'm like, oh, it's Sandwich Man. There he is.
You should put your hand up and say, would you like a Reuben sandwich?
I didn't have any more of my Reuben sandwich left.
Would you have given him your sandwich?
Maybe, I know, which is kind of like a really awful thing to do. I guess his prestige would have won out. It could have been a lot worse.
At least you didn't go like, yeah, I'm kind of here. I watched the trailer, didn't look great, but you know.
Yeah.
Like you could have said well a lot worse.
Up to this thing, yeah.
Yeah, looks shit, doesn't it?
It's a free evening out, isn't it?
What did you think of Evil Dead Rise?
I did this joke on Twitter, so forgive me, but move over, Avatar The Way of Water. We've got a new wettest movie of the year.
Is it wet with blood, though?
Oh, it's so wet. It's a wet movie.
In what way? To expand on this, stop saying the word wet.
It's very, very bloody. But not just blood, it's like viscera. There's just like a lot of like meaty texture that is just
this
like...
this sounds like a dream for Jen. Yeah,
it is.
I'm not
going to
eat it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't recommend it. There is a cooking eggs scene in it as well. You okay with eggs?
Yeah, I eat eggs.
I don't love eggs though, so this is putting me off. Is the film good though? We know it's wet. is it good?
So it is a 92-minute film that I think is slightly too long. I think that it's got a very good little cold open, which I won't say too much about. Mm-hmm. It's got a really kind of meandering beginning where it's setting some stuff up. But that final act where it kind of all gets really its wet. Shit together just gets wet as fuck. It's you couldn't ask for a better bit of entertainment if you're a gore head. There's such inventive, strange things that happen in it. Mm-hmm. And it's just physically sickening. I'll absolutely give it that kudos.
Is it sick, in a horrifying way? Because Evil Dead's kind of always had that tongue in cheek. Is it got that sort of tone, or is it going for full horror?
So it's way more horror-y. It's got a silliness to it that it wouldn't be able to be Evil Dead without. But I think more of that silliness is in dialogue stuff. I think it just characters saying things that they maybe shouldn't expect to. But it's got way more of a little a gore horror slant to it, which is also true in the originals. But I don't think it has that same kind of charm. But it's trying for a different thing. I don't think it's trying to emulate it in that direction. I think it's deliberately tried to branch off.
Yeah. Would you recommend people see it?
I would recommend. I kind of walk in about 40 minutes late.
Do get a
just
sandwich.
Get a sandwich, eat that instead, and then just hang out for the rest.
Sounds good.
I also, at the end of this too, I've been racking my brain the whole movie, being who is this actor? I spent the whole thing going I don't know who this actor is. They're so familiar. And right as I read his name at the end of the movie, it's Morgan Davies, and I heard Jesse's voice pronouncing his name in the One Piece video that we did, because he's going to be playing a character in that. Just had this whole experience of I know you, but I've never seen you in anything. And I've just, because I've been because we made a video out of it, such a weird thing to do in a movie.
There we go.
Yeah.
We talked briefly about sandwiches there, and it'd be foolish of me not to ask you. I don't think we've ever asked you. It was about 4 years ago now. It was a big feature of the podcast with sandwiches. Like, what is your favourite sandwich? Like, your ideal sandwich? Have you got one?
I've got a good sandwich, really good sandwich. Ciabatta with tomato pesto and some spinach and some mozzarella, and it's like grilled.
That sounds quite Italian.
Yeah,
how European, how fancy of you. You really like to just put it out there, don't you?
It's
exotic. Yeah, you can't go wrong with anything with mozzarella in, or spinach. I love spinach as well, and I like pesto. Do you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, if we ever meet in person, just bring me one, actually. That'd be good.
But it has to be warm. How am I going to do that?
Well, we have a microwave in the office.
I'm offended. You can't microwave sandwich.
Grill it, or do you have like a panini maker? Or
I grill it. Well, sometimes like you can get those ciabatta rolls that you bake in the oven.
Yes,
those are good. That's a good combo.
Yeah, good. It's good to know. Right, we've nailed that. Evil Dead. I think it looks fun. I'm not like... historically like a massive Evil Dead fan, to be honest. I like 2. I think most people think 2 is good fun, but it's just, have any like link, do you need to have watched any others?
No, other than I think that you'll just like kind of get the book that's in the
Necronomicon. Yeah, you just need to know what that is,
but otherwise I don't think that you'd sort of, I really don't think that you do it all. Although there is a bit where a character begins to really look like Ash in the movie. You'll know what I'm talking about the moment that it happens, and you won't
blood
understand.
All over their face.
Maybe that's what I mean, but maybe not.
Are they looking really? Are they looking really wet?
There is
with blood.
Yes, but there's a specific kind of Bruce Campbell like eye twitch, or like an eye being slightly closed, that they deliberately made it like.
Well,
so
done
that
to them. That's good fun.
It's very cool.
What do you think is the wettest film, Jen?
The wettest film. What's that one? Is it with Nicolas Cage in?
Oh, which one?
Waterworld.
No, it's completely forgot his name. Kevin Costner.
Oh yeah.
Waterworld.
Yeah,
that is a very wet
film. Waterworld. Yeah,
that's a great shot. On the top of your head, that's a fantastic shot. My head went to Titanic. Basically anything James Cameron, because he loves the water. Even the abyss.
There's a bit in Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, where they jump into the water and he gets pretty wet. That's a Nicolas Cage movie where he gets wet.
Nicolas Cage loves getting wet. Why is he not in this film? I haven't seen Renfield. We can't talk about Renfield.
Email in with your wettest movie.
Yeah, what is the wettest movie of all time? IGN _UK feedback at IGN.com. Let's talk about something I think both me and Matt are watching. Have you watched any beef? Do you watch television, Jen?
Do I watch television? Yeah, sometimes, but I usually watch like old television. But I did watch the first episode of Beef.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There we go. I'm 5 episodes in. I think there's 10 in total. I don't know how many you've watched, Matt.
3 or 4. Yeah.
Okay. I'm furthest ahead, so I can spoil everything. No, I won't. if you don't know what Beef is, it is on Netflix. It is 10 30 to 40 minute episodes, and it is produced by A24, so it kind of has that seal of, I feel like, if I see anything A24 now, I'm like, this is going to at least be interesting.
Starring beautiful Steven Yeun.
Yes, he is. Oh god, he is so good. Like, what an actor. And the stuff he gets to do later in this, him and Ali Wong, both amazing in this. I'm only halfway through, like I said, but it's already surprised me where it's gone. I know you're only an episode in, Jen, and you're only like 3 or 4 in. But I'm 5 in, and I'm winning. No.
I had more time to watch television.
Exactly. It surprised me in a way, but also it's kind of what I thought it was, which is, it's like a dramedy. It's got drama, it's got comedy, and it is very funny at times. It's kind of, at first, reminds me a bit of... any of you seen Falling Down, the Michael Douglas film?
I've seen clips that show up on TikTok all the time.
If you don't know what that Falling film Down's is, it's Michael Douglas playing a man, just a normal man, who basically over the course of a day loses his mind and just like starts off in a traffic jam and then gets angrier and angrier until he basically can't take it anymore and just fully goes mad. So it's got kind of like that. It's got this like Ali Wong and Stephen Young are two people living in LA who are kind of on like different sides of the tracks. They're kind of like, she lives a very wealthy lifestyle. He's very much trying, you know, going day to day, trying to get handyman work done. And they kind of, they by happenstance just clash one day. This is all in like the first 15 minutes of the first episode. I'm not spoiling anything. They basically have a disagreement, and in a moment of road rage, basically sets them on a path of like feuding for quite a while, and that's where a lot of the humor comes from. But then what I've come to find over the course of the episodes is it's really good at setting up your expectations of what the show is going to be, but then kind of turning a different direction every time. Like, it's actually, as much as it's a funny, like almost like throwback comedy to like two people doing stupid things and feuding, it's also quite a good study of loneliness which I wasn't expecting, and God do I know about that. So yeah, it's like, yeah, it's surprisingly, even like Stephen Young's brother in the show, like at first you think, oh, he's just like an idiot character, but mm-hmm. he has a surprising amount of depth later on as well. Like, I'm just
strange arc to him as well.
Yeah, I'm only halfway through, but I'm really loving it so far. It's some of the best TV I've seen. Well, we've got Succession going on, which we won't talk about this week, but my word, is that good. But yeah, I'm really, really loving Beef. What are you guys thinking?
Something that I really loved about the first couple like scenes is that it sets up very strange things. Like, mm-hmm. doesn't really give you a lot of information, but just like says like the stuff with the hibachi grills and the stuff with the like him eating Burger King just seem mm-hmm. like strange things to happen in a TV show. And yeah. if they had never been addressed, I would have just been like, oh, that's, you know, just interesting texture. But actually making them part of his personality and only revealing that like way later on in the series, it's like, it really hit me with a confidence to just be like, to allow a weird thing to happen and then only provide context to it later is like really the kind of writing that I really like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're only an episode in, Jen, so you've kind of got the basics of it, but did you have a good time at least?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. It was like, as you were saying, there's like a lot of depth to it in ways that you don't realize until later on. Obviously, I haven't seen like further than the first episode, but it was interesting as well because like I was trying to figure out what was going on tonally. Because it seemed mm-hmm. quite dark and odd, but then there is that like comedy element. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, what are you doing here? It's really, yeah. I really enjoyed it.
It's got like, obviously it's a kind of centered around Asian American people, and I'm sure there's a lot of jokes in this that I know from talking to, like, when seeing people talk about the show who are Asian American or have like a Asian family. There's a lot of jokes probably going over my head here in a little details. But like, it does kind of have that. I'm finding that thing that I love about a lot of Korean TV and films, which is the tone of it, is like something like Parasite, which is basically every genre. Like, one moment you have a comedy scene, then you have a dark scene, then you have an emotionally like tearing apart scene. Like, it's encompassing that really well. And yeah, I'm just having a fantastic time of it. And
the confidence of it being able to be all of those things and like not diminished by being something else, more like it just becomes its own thing by drawing from a lot of influences.
And I feel like, I really like, we're describing it as maybe being something heavy. It's not heavy at all. It's so easy to watch as well. It's like half an hour episodes, like I said. And yeah, I just can't wait to watch more, basically. I'm intrigued to see where they go with it. There's a couple of different ways. There's one way where I'd be like, I hope they don't go this way with it. But I don't know. Let us know what you think of Beef on Netflix.
They're thinking about more seasons of it as well. That's good. A limited series. So I think they might do more.
Yeah, I wonder. Well, obviously, I don't know how this ends. Because you could kind of, if it would be the same characters or if you get like two other people that are beefing. It's just really stylish as well. I love how simple the intro title slide is. Mm-hmm. It's just good. Oh, and the use of like, the last episode I watched ended on a System of a Down track. Got me in.
This like early 2000s rock music aesthetic as well.
It's
like
Uberstank. Yeah.
There was a song as well. It's like by Incubus that I used to listen to quite a lot. That is like got somebody playing it on guitar. I was like, this is not a song that would really be in a lot of TV. Like this is such an interesting like deliberate aesthetic choice to make.
They're listening to Limp Bizkit as well at some point. Like a lot of things that kind of. I say a lot of things. Limp Bizkit are thoroughly uncool, but in the right context can sound
absolutely
really cool.
At a wedding? Mate.
Yeah. But yeah, oh, we're going to have to play. Oh, we're going to have to play Hoobastank's Thanks the Reason at the end of the podcast
please.
Now, aren't we?
There's something as well. Like, I think that it, like, that kind of music just doesn't get lent on enough. I think it will eventually. Like, I think we're starting to see the uptick of it. Like, the nostalgia for the kind of, like, grossness of music in
like,
that.
Like, Yellow Jackets lent into the 90s last year. Mm-hmm. I haven't really started season three yet, two yet. Of that, but yeah, we can't. I think people are slowly getting over the 80s nostalgia, and now we're moving to 90s. And yeah, we'll be hearing more Limp Bizkit.
We absolutely will. Yes, please.
Is Limp Bizkit even 90s?
No, it's early 2000s.
No, but we're getting there. How did a band called Hoobastank have a hit? Why would you call yourself Hoobastank?
I bet there's a good story.
Jen, if you started a band, what would they be called?
Not Hoobastank. Because that's taken. Otherwise, it would be.
Yeah.
I'd cool. do a tribute to Hoobastank. We'd be called Tubastank.
Okay, there we go. Maybe just Lich. There we go. That's quite a good name.
Ooh.
You'd have to be like.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You'd have to be like a black metal band.
I could do that.
Called Lich.
We could do that. Yeah.
We could do that. You have music in the family, right?
I do, I write music, actually, under the name Sylph. So I guess that's the answer to your question.
Why didn't you come up with
because
that?
Because that's too late.
You didn't want to promote it.
I don't want to promote myself.
There we go. I would say we'd have one of your songs at the end of the podcast, but that seems too indulgent.
That's too much. No one wants to listen to me speak. And then listen to me sing. Like, that's too much me.
Maybe another time. Right. Now it's time to hear from you people, though, because we've got some feedback. We put out the call for trade-in stories last week. Because I thought people might have some, and we did get quite a few. We're only going to read out a few this week, but we'll come back. If yours wasn't read this week, you might well come back to them, so don't worry. I have been told by Dale to actually give a shout out to people. He's just very happy. He's very grateful for all of the people that have just said congratulated him, basically. Not on the upcoming birth of his child, but the fact that they're using the word chuffing and vibe check. That's what he's most excited about. So yeah, if you said chuff or vibe check, he's having a lovely time every time he sees that. So yeah, passing that
it's been more exciting to him than his 40th birthday this year.
Exactly. Yeah, he tried to brush that one under the mat, didn't he? But Dale is now 40 years old. There we go.
Congratulations to Dale.
He'll love that. He made it. And well done to Clive, too.
Yeah. So I've got a message from Levi Cooper, who says, hey, IGN UK, best ever trade-in deal was a banger. In Australia, we've got a game equivalent called EB Games. And when Metal Gear Solid 4 first released, they were doing a deal where you could trade basically any two games and get it. My brother and I worked out a system where we could go to the mall to a rival retailer, JB Hi-Fi. I was saying this to an Australian friend recently, that like just Australianisms are like performance enhancing drugs for comedy. Like just JB Hi-Fi is just a very funny thing to name it. Yeah. And it isn't really all that funny.
Does there have to be a something B in all of the... Yeah. Are they all boutiques? I don't know. There we go.
So Levi would go and buy the two cheapest games for about $10 and then go across to EB Games and traded them in to get a copy of Metal Gear Solid 4. Best part, though, was JB Hi-Fi's trade-in value for Metal Gear Solid was $110.
Ooh, games are expensive in Australia, aren't they?
They are. It's quite strange. So we would go back to JB and trade it in two more times and $90 credit.
That's a lot. That's a lot you're getting there. That's a good deal.
That is just printing money right there. Yeah. That is something that I would like to do. I used to, back when like Steam trading cards existed, this is my only deal that I can think of, I would have games just running all day so that I could get Steam trading cards. Mm-hmm. And they were like 40 pence maybe at the time. The market is kind of bottomed out now, but I would just have a way, like I'd have a laptop
open. They
were
just the NFTs, weren't they? Let's be honest.
Pretty much, yeah. I'd have a laptop open with like what the Steam trading card market was, and then my computer running so that I could like just cross-reference what the price was going for. And it was only for like not very much money, a couple pence at a time. So I totally respect this kind of hustle.
Yeah. How much do you think you could sell your Dota account for, Jen?
Oh, I don't really have... I probably spent, like, a couple hundred on it. Mm. Not that much. I mean, you wouldn't...
People want the stats.
It's probably,
people want your stats.
They don't want my stats, but people buy accounts that are, like, low MMR. So maybe they'd buy it for that. So like, it's not that low.
Oh, you're not. It's don't put middle. Yourself down. We all know you're not low MMR. Come on.
Middle lane. No. Get me out of there.
Has Levi got anything else to say? Or are we moving on? I don't know. Oh, it does say he got banned from the shop and they told us to get lost. There we go. Moral of that story is milk something until there's no more milk left in it and you're banned from the farm. Is that a good... I don't know. Don't go onto farms you're not meant to go on. There's the moral of the story.
Have fun in the desert instead.
Do you have any trading stories, Jen? Or are you just kind of locked into the PC? You just play one game, don't you?
Just playing one game. Just playing Dota. None of my play times are artificially inflated by card farming. They're just really that long. Nearly on 5,000 hours in Dota, which is just...
Do you not even like trading games when you were like 12 or anything?
No.
Just with pocket money. I used to do it all the time.
Like, I'm emotionally attached. I can't do that.
I do kind of... Yeah, I wish there was a period in my life where, especially, I think it was like my second year of university, there was a run of games where I just like... I think it was like Deus Ex, Human Revolution, Arkham City, Uncharted 3. I think I did it with Skyrim as well. I just owned each of those for a couple of weeks and just kept trading them in, like, you know, recycling them basically. It's like I do wish I had my original, like, Deus Ex Human Revolution.
See, I've never done that. I've never traded a game because I always just want it. I want to have it.
Yeah, but I didn't have a lot of money. I wanted to play games.
Yeah, that's why I play the same game over, like.
But then I got lucky one night. I don't know if I've ever told my casino story on this podcast.
Let's do it.
Right at the end of my second year of university, I had a very lucky night where I walked into a casino with £10. Played a little bit of blackjack, got up to like £70, which is good in itself for shooting. Like, wow, 60 quid up. And then before I left, one of my mates was playing roulette and he was just finishing a drink. And I was like, maybe I need to... I'll put £10 on one number, why not? So I did that, and I think I put it on 11 because at the time Gareth Bale was playing for Tottenham. And it came up, and if you don't know roulette, that means I got 32 times 10, so that would have been another 320, so I was up to 400. And then, you know, it still were like a little bit more, and I was like, maybe I need to do it again. So two spins later, I put money on, I think, who would it have been? It would have been another Spurs player who like scored the day before. So like three spins later, I put 25 on one number and I was like, and it happened. And I was like, oh my God. And then,
luckiest,
you know,
luckiest
what?
Man alive.
I should have stopped there, but I didn't. Because then two spins later, I was like, okay, like we were getting up. I was like, oh, let's do one more. So I put another £25 on zero and it came up. So I walked out of that casino with £2,000 that night.
Jesus.
Which when you're a student meant I didn't work my third year and I just rationed that out on food for a whole year. That was the luckiest night of my life and probably why I've never had an honest job. But there you go. I'm not condoning to any student out there risking... I risk £10, but
if you are going to, you should win.
Oh, it's a if in doubt, just follow who scores in Spurs games, which at the moment isn't really anyone. So you're not going to.
Yeah, the magic's gone there, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, that's why. I mean, there's many reasons why I'll always love Gareth Bale, but that is one of them. Yeah, nice little Troy. That wasn't really about anything, but there you go. What's next? Who's next? In email, Jen. What's the email?
Email. I don't have any emails.
Don't you?
No.
Go scroll down the document. There should be one that says to Jen.
Yo, there's a second. I didn't see the other pages.
More pages.
Oh my god! What a surprise!
What a new world.
I'm not used
to this. It's like you're in the desert finding things. <I'm>
digging around.
You're Jasmine being flown around by Aladdin.
That is how I feel. Yeah. All right, yeah, so we've got one from, do have emails. Scott Zeal, who says, hey, IGN UK team, long time, many time. I remember vividly that GameStation once did a very bizarre promotion of, for every 3 games you traded in, they would give you an additional £10 of in-store credit. I've no idea why they did it, and I never saw anything like that again. After getting rid of practically every disc I had, even age-old versions of FIFA, which would normally only trade in for 50p, bagging me an extra tenner, 12-year-old me must have been the richest GameStation in-store credit holder in the Midlands. That's like a tongue twister.
And then you go and get a donut from the donut van.
Exactly. You got to smell those donut vans. God, these are throwbacks, aren't they?
I use this newfound war chest to buy games for a good year or so with titles like Alan Wake, Bioshock, and Skyrim, all featuring in what was definitely an enlightening year for me as a young gamer. Wow. Okay.
Say that's respect the sea, Jen.
Respect the sea. Much love.
Do you respect the sea, Jen?
Yes.
I mean, sea is, yeah. The wettest film is the sea, probably. It's not a film, but if you stare at it long enough, it tells a story, doesn't it?
Is The Descent the wettest film?
I mean, I feel like it's got to be any film set on water. Mm. I mean, that's like a dank film. I'm not saying like dank in the way 10 years ago people would use the word dank.
Sure.
But, you know, like that's probably the moistest film. It's very damp, you know what I mean? But yeah. The Descent's horrible, isn't it? But in a good way. Yeah, that is mad. Any three games and you get £10. That is probably why GameStation folded probably a year after that. Yeah.
It's gotta be like, I'm trying to work out the financials of this. It's gotta be like a write off, right? Or you can like pulp the discs and turn them into roads.
How did they think that makes sense? Like, because people would just do what I would do, buy games for like 50p.
Yeah.
And just keep resucking them, make hundreds. Like, what are they thinking? I don't know. Like, the games are we've never been smart as an industry, have we? But there we go.
But you're going to spend it at GameStation, aren't you? Exactly. This is like the episode of It's Always Sunny where they print their own money.
I do miss GameStation. I once spent like an hour in a GameStation having my mind blown by King Kong on the Xbox 360.
Hell
just
yeah.
Playing it in there. Yeah. Those were the days.
I once deliberately went into town so that I could play the new Tekken on the machines against people in the display. Like, that was it.
You'd genuinely would do the thing of like looking like you're not waiting for someone else to get off of it and just kind of milling around the shop, making it look like you're looking at games when really you're trying to stay close enough to the machine so when someone gets off, you can have a go. To be young and poor again. Or just young again. Yeah. Right. I've got an email from Andy Wood. He says, "Hi guys, I had to get in touch with my story of not only the greatest trade-in I've ever achieved, but also the most incredible display of trade-in shithousery that followed immediately after." We're getting with the scenes being set here. In November 2010, I was at Hull University, stretching my student finances to the limit. Should have gone to the casino, mate.
Yeah, should have won.
Easy.
Fail.
Yeah. Playing the latest and greatest games at this point meant relying on any special trade-in deals I could find at the local game station. Then came along the absolute best trade-in deal I've ever seen. On the release date for Donkey Kong Country Returns for the Wii, a limited number of customers would be allowed to trade in a bunch of fresh bananas for the game. Oh, GameStation. This really is why they went down, isn't it? Right. This day happened to fall the day after an insane snowstorm, to the point where buses weren't even running. Still, after over an hour of slipping and sliding on the icy pavement and the top tier fall on his ass for my fellow banana boy. What a sentence. We made it to the store in time to be some of the lucky customers who got to hand over our bananas for a brand new copy of Donkey Kong Country Returns. Straight after us, though, the next person handed over their bunch of bananas, got the game, and then without flinching, passed it right back to the staff member asking, "How much cash can I get for this?"
Donkey Kong Country Returns,
pretty good game as well. We've missed out.
Yeah, but you basically bought some bananas and made like 50 quid. It's quite a good deal. As we now know, we lost GameStation just a couple of years after that fateful day. To this day, I blame that guy who had them pay him £25 for a bunch of bananas.
We just learned that GameStation were just giving cash away.
who was running these deals? Was it Game? Were they? Yeah. Did they have an inside person like?
Were they shorting the stock of GameStation?
Do we need to investigate this? Like. Maybe we do. I'll talk to Dale about this. Maybe an IGN inside story on the great GameStation banana mishap.
Maybe they just really liked bananas, and it was worth that much to them.
Did they specify what's a bunch? Is it at least three to be in a bunch?
Like split a bunch in half.
Is two a bunch? Three.
I don't think two's a bunch. That's a pair, isn't it? I feel like you have to have
no,
three.
No, it's a banana. Hey!
Jesus Christ. This God. I feel like three. Minimum of three is a bunch, right?
Yeah.
And you'd be foolish to give more than five. So, I don't know. I don't like bananas. So, right. I'd happily give them away for Donkey Kong. Yeah. What a story. I don't remember that at all. I'm not saying it didn't happen.
That's weird, yeah.
But I do want to look into it because that's ridiculous. Like, what other things? Like, if for Mario, could you bring in a pizza and get the game? I don't know.
Mushroom. A little punnet
of mushrooms. Yeah, just some mushrooms, yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Oh, I had fun. It's a good episode. IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com for more weird food-related trading stories. Those are our favourite. When we get a cross-section, if anyone's got any donut trading stories, then, God, we're in luck.
Wet movies. Best wet deserts.
Yes.
That's what I want to hear.
Girl, we really are just talking absolute shit at this point, aren't we? We really are bottom about. We're only like 8 episodes away from episode 700. I can tell you now, I don't think there's a live show coming because we did one only a few months ago. But we'll do one again at some point. But God, where do we go from here, eh? I don't know why I'm suddenly having an existential crisis at the end of this. But it's good to have you back, Jen. It's been too long and it won't be this long before we have you back again, I promise.
Well, depending on, you know, how well you think this went.
I think it went well. I mean, it's not for me to... I mean, I'm not listening to it, but I imagine true. It went very well. Like, maybe when Dota 3 gets announced.
Oh, God. All right. Bye forever.
Yeah.
It's over.
Right. Let's have some
Hoobastank.
Nice. Because you are the reason. I don't know what even that is.
Goodbye.
Oh, no.
Bye. What an embarrassment.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.